All glories to the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ. All glories to the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ. All glories, all glories, all glories to Shishi Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Vasudevaya.
Om namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 14. Chapter is entitled King Chitraketu's Lamentation, text number 55.
Nahi pramaschad iha mrityu janmano.
Nahi pramaschad iha mrityu janmano.
Sharirinam astu tadatma karmabihi. Yasneha pasho nija sargo hridaye.
Yasneha pasho nija sargo hridaye.
Svayam kritaste tam imam vrishchasi.
Svayam kritaste tam imam vrishchasi.
Nahi pramaschet iha mrityu janmano. Sharirinam astu tad atma karma bhi.
Sharirinam astu tad atma karma bhi.
Yasneha pasho nija sargo hridaye.
Yasneha pasho nija sargo hridaye.
Svayam kritaste tam imam vrishchasi.
Svayam kritaste tam
pramaschet iha mrityu janmano. Sharirinam astu tad atma karma bhi. Yasneha pasho nija sargo hridaye. Svayam kritaste tam imam vritrishchasi.
Svayam kritaste tam imam vritrishchasi.
Please chant.
Nahi pramaschet iha mrityu janmano. Yasneha pasho nija sarga vridaye. Svayam kritaste tam imam vrishchasi.
Nahi
pramaschet iha mrityu janmano. Sharirinam astu tad atma karma bhi. Deha Pasho Nijasada Vridaye. Sayam Pritaste Tam Himam Vijastasi. Hikamasche Iham Vichu Jamano. Shavirinam Astu Kalamakamani. Yasneha Pasha Nijasana Vrindaye. Sayam Vrindaste Tam Imam Vrishtasi.
Vaishnavis.
Nahi Kramasche Iham Vrishtu Jannano. Sharirinam Astu Tadatma Karmani. Yasneha Pasho Nijasarva Vrindaye. Svayam Kritaste Tam Imam Vrishtasi.
Chronological order. Chet, if. Iha, in this material world. Mrityu, of death. Janmanaho, and of birth. Sharirinam, of the conditioned souls who have accepted material bodies. Astu, let it be. Tat, that. Atma karma bihi, by the results of one's karma. Fruitive activities. Yaha, that which. Sneha, Ashaha, bondage of affection. Nijasarga, your own creation. Vridaye, to increase. Svayam, personally. Kritaha, made. Te, by you. Tam, that. Imam, this. Vivrishchasi, you are cutting. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: my Lord, you may say that there is no law that a father must die in the lifetime of his son, and that a son must be born in the lifetime of his father. Since everyone lives and dies according to his own fruitive activity. However, if fruitive activity is so strong that birth and death depend upon it, there is no need of a controller or God. Again, if you say that a controller is needed because the material energy does not have the power to act, one may answer that if the bonds of affection you have created are disturbed by fruit of action, no one will raise children with affection. Instead, everyone will cruelly neglect his children. Since you have cut the bonds of affection that compel a parent to raise his child, you appear inexperienced and unintelligent. Purport. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, karmani nidrahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam, One who is taken to Krishna consciousness, devotional service is not affected by the results of karma. In this verse, karma has been stressed on the basis of karma mimamsa philosophy, which says that one must act according to his karma and that a supreme controller must give the results of karma. The subtle laws of karma, which are controlled by the supreme, cannot be understood by ordinary conditioned souls. Therefore, Krishna says that one who can understand him and how he is acting, controlling everything by subtle laws, immediately becomes free by his grace. That is a statement of Brahma Samhita, Karmani Nidradahati Kintu Chabhakti Bhajam. One should take to devotional service without reservations and surrender everything to the supreme will of the Lord. That will make one happy in this life and in the next. Om Gyan Chanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Padati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharade Shatahine Vancha Kalpa Turyascha Kripa Sindhubya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vidadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we're reading from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 14, entitled King Chitraketu's Lamentation. And we're reading text number 55. So before I begin to speak, I'd like to take the blessings of all the devotees that are present here today, both physically present and on the internet, everywhere throughout the universe, especially very senior devotees like Pankajangri Prabhu and all other devotees here. Please give me your blessings that I could speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification. Thank you. Albert Einstein, a very great mind from this century, he said, "In the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. In the middle of difficulty lies opportunity." So when we encounter difficult situations, we should not lament, but we should seek the good opportunity to advance in Krishna consciousness, which is our goal. Even the greatest difficulty, death, should be looked upon as an opportunity. Dehino smin nita dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dehantaras praptir dhiras tatra namuyati. In the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, text 13, Lord Krishna explains dhiras tatra namuyati, that a dhira, a sober person, is not confused by a change of body, by the time of death, whether it's our own body or the body of a loved one, as we're hearing in this case in Srimad Bhagavatam, King Chitraketu and Queen Kritadyuti, they have lost their son and they're lamenting. So are they dira? Are they sober? No, because they're lamenting. So their consciousness is not optimal. Later, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, Angira Muni will come, Narada Muni will come and enlighten them. Om Jnana Tirunda Syag and Anjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. And Narada Muni and Angira Muni will open their eyes to transcendental knowledge and they will become enlightened in Krishna consciousness. So, due to sorrow, Kritadyuti Maharani, she's taking on the attitude of an atheist and she's speaking karma mimamsa philosophy. So, in times of sorrow and difficulty, we should not lose our faith in Krishna. We should maintain our faith in Krishna, not take on some atheistic attitude like we see Kritadyuti Maharani is offering today. One should not lose faith. Before we continue in this discussion, I'd like to just briefly review what has been going on in the chapter so far. We've come to text 55, where we've gone quite a significant way into the chapter. We hear about King Chitraketu, powerful monarch, great powerful king with many praja and many wives. Srimad Bhagavatam explains that King Chitraketu had 10 million wives. Try taking care of just one in Kali Yuga, you're considered a hero. He had 10 million wives. Now the most unfortunate situation for him was out of all 10 million wives, all of them were barren. None of them could become pregnant. How did he know? He must have tried to impregnate all 10 million wives. How long did it take to try to impregnate 10 million wives? I did some math. If he had sexual intercourse with 3 wives per day, now that's a lot, you know? That's really tough. But he was a powerful monarch. Perhaps he could have done it. 10 million wives, 3 per day, 365 days per year, it would have taken him 9,132 years of endeavor. That's a long time. And what if he only endeavored with one wife per day, which is also quite a reasonable premise? It would have taken him 7 days a week, 365 days a year without a break, 27,397 years. That's a long time for trying to have a child with 10 million wives. And ultimately, he and all of his wives were frustrated. They could not have a single progeny. He was lamenting. Angira Muni came to his court and Chitraketu Maharaj welcomed him very nicely, washed his feet, gave him a wonderful seat and asan, offered him service, whatever I can do for you. And then in reciprocation, Angira Muni was asking, how is your kingdom? How are you? But I see your mood. Something is wrong. You're lamenting. Something is wrong in your life. What is the difficulty? And King Chitraketu replied that, I'm like a man suffering from hunger, suffering from thirst. Someone has given me a flower garland. Someone has given me chandan. But I cannot enjoy this flower garland and the chandan because I'm so hungry and I'm so thirsty. What is the use of my vast kingdom? What is my use of all praja? What is the use of all my riches and wealth? I do not have a son to carry out my lineage. He was in great anxiety. We all know, as His Grace Pankajangri Prabhu was pointing out yesterday, Praja, the son, is required to perform the Pindadan. It's required for the Shraddha ceremony so that the ancestors can be delivered. So this Maharaj, King Chitraketu, and all of his wives, they were in great, great anxiety. So the great Brahmana, Angira, he performed the sacrifice. Swaha, swaha, swaha. And he offered sweet rice to Tvastva. And as a result, he had that Yajna Shishta, the Mahaprasadam from the sacrifice. And he gave it to King Chitraketu, who gave it to his favorite wife, Kritaduti. And she honored that sweet rice Mahaprasadam, and she became pregnant, and she conceived a baby boy! Haribol! And there was great rejoicing in the kingdom. Everyone was so happy. King Chitraketu gave away so much charity to the Brahmanas and to his subjects, and riches and wealth and so much joy and happiness. It was just dancing in his heart. Unfortunately, the other queens became neglected, and Queen Kritaduti was receiving all the attention. And is the nature of this world, those who are neglected, those who see someone receiving more attention than them, the tendency for those who are not Krishna conscious is to become envious. So these queens became so envious. They were burning with envy. They could not get over their difficulty. Now there's a difference between jealousy and enviousness, as we were hearing yesterday. Jealousy means something. Someone is doing something better than you, so you want to do better than that person. And envious means someone is doing better than you, you cannot do better, so you want to tear that person down and destroy that person. So these queens were envious. Does Krishna ever become envious? Every quality is in Krishna, but not envy. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 29, Shamoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshosti na kriya ye bhajanti tumam bhakya mahite teshu chapyaham. He says, I'm equal to everyone. I'm not envious of anyone. Name dvesho, name priyaha. I'm not giving partiality to anyone. But one who worships me in devotion, he is a friend to me, and I am a friend to him. So no, Krishna is never envious. But these 10 million queens were so envious, and out of envy, they did an unspeakable act. They took poison, and they poisoned the child in the child's sleep, and the child became dead. The child left his body. Queen Kritaduti was in her chambers, and she asked her maidservant, please go and bring the child to me. The maidservant went in the next room. She saw the child lying lifeless with his eyes open, rolled up, without any life force in his body, and she began to scream and cry, alas, alas, and she was beating her chest, and she was crying and rolling on the ground. And then hearing the sounds, Queen Kritaduti came into the room, and she also began to cry. The description of Bhagavatam, she was making sounds like the Kurari bird. So yesterday we went on the internet and we found a video of the Kurari bird. And the Kurari bird, when the Kurari bird cries, sounds like this, but a little bit different. Like that, something like that, but different. The Kurari bird, she was crying and crying. King Chitraketu came, and he also was just practically blind with grief. He was stumbling and falling down, getting up, stumbling, falling down, crying and crying and crying. He was in so much anxiety. And in yesterday's verse, we heard Queen Krutaduti. She began lamenting out loud to Providence. Oh, Providence, why have you done this? How is it possible that this could occur in my life? And she began criticizing the Supreme Lord. And in today's verse, she continues her criticism of the Supreme Lord. She says, Nahi kramaschet iha mritu janmano. That kramas means time. That everything should happen in the right time. But nahi kramaschet. What if things don't happen in the right time? According to the right time, janma and mritu, birth and death, mritu janamaho, a son should not die while the father is still alive. And the son should not be born if the father is dead. But everything is getting all mixed up. Everything is getting all topsy-turvy. Things are not happening at the right time. Then she says, Sharirnam astutad atma karma bihi. She says, Sharirnam, those who accept bodies according to atma karma bihi, according to their karma. People are accepting their bodies. So why do we need a Supreme Lord to make decisions about what this will happen, what that will happen? People are getting their bodies anyway, according to their karma. What does the Supreme Lord have to do with anything? And she says, Ya sneha pasho ni jasarga vridhade. She says, sneha pasho, this affection, sneha, is developing amongst family members. Ni jasarga, in your creation, vridhaye, it should increase. Our affection for our family members in your creation should increase. But yet we see, svayam kritaste tam imam vivrishchasi. We say, you're cutting it off. I had my affection for my family member, but you cut it off. Why? Is this the way the universe is supposed to run? Are you all merciful? If you're the Supreme Lord, you should be all merciful. Why are you cutting off my affection for my family members? Is it because you're not all powerful? What kind of Lord are you? There must be no Lord. And she began speaking this karma mimamsa philosophy. It is because of karma only, and the Lord has nothing to do with it. This is her allegation. Because she's lamenting, and she's not Krishna conscious. So therefore her conclusion in her lamentation is that there's no God. It's all based on karma. So this is her mistake. Later on, when Angira Muni and Narada Muni come, they'll enlighten her. She's playing the blame game. She's blaming Krishna for her misfortune. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes from Brahma Samhita. He says, Karmani nidrahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. Karmani are fruit of actions. Nidrahati are destroyed. Cha bhakti bhajam, by persons executing devotional service. So her allegation in today's Bhagavatam verse is refuted by Srila Prabhupada in the purport today, in this beautiful verse from Brahma Samhita. Srila Prabhupada translates this verse. He says, bhakti burns up to the roots, all the fruit of activities by one who is engaged in devotional service. The karma mimamsa philosophy, many of us have come in contact with it through Govardhan Leela. Remember, Krishna comes to Nanda Maharaj. He asks why the sacrifice is being conducted. Nanda Maharaj says, we want to please Indra because Indra is providing us with the rains. Therefore, we're offering sacrifice to Indra. But Krishna, he disputes it by speaking karma mimamsa philosophy. He says, what is the need to offer any kind of sacrifice to Indra or any of the demigods? We just need to do our duty, our kartavya, And then naturally, all the results will come to us. Whether we worship Indra or we don't worship Indra, whatever results are going to come to us will come. Just like Indra is pouring water on the ocean in the form of rains. So he's pouring water also on the earth. The ocean is not performing sacrifice. The earth is not performing sacrifice. But the rain is falling. So no need to perform this sacrifice. This is karma mimamsa philosophy. It's all based on karma. It's all based on our work, what's coming to us. There's no intervention by the Supreme Lord or by the demigods. But we hear, Shama sarveshu bhuteshu name dveshosti na priyaha yeva janti tuman bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. That Krishna is a dear friend of anyone who engages in devotional service to Him. Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maye te teshu chapyaham. Those who render service to Krishna, Krishna becomes a very intimate, dear friend. And He intervenes in the process of karma. So, Krishna intervenes in this process. Now, Prabhupada gives an argument in Krishna book. Two arguments. He says if karma mimamsa philosophy was correct, if it was just our karma that would come to us, then if two patients are going to the same hospital and they're taking the same medicine, why, and they have the same disease, why one will die and the other one will live? There must be some divine intervention to decide. Maya jakshena prakritihi suyate sa characharam hetunanena kanteya jagad vipar vivartate. Maya jakshena prakritihi. That Krishna says, I am the ajaksh, I am the overseer, I am the permitter, upadeshtanu mantacha. I am taking care of everything going on in the material energy. Not a blade of grass will move without the will of the Supreme Lord. So Krishna has His influence everywhere. The second example Srila Prabhupada gives is that of a child, a mother, a father, a family are raising a child. Another family is also raising a child. They're both feeding the child the best food. They're both putting the child in the best gurukul. They're both giving the child the best Krishna consciousness. But one child may die and the other child may live. Why? Maya jachena prakritihi suyate sa characharam. That Krishna is overseeing and He's acting in the lives of people. We can see this in the lives of devotees. For example, His Holiness, Param Puja, Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. So several years ago, Maharaj had a tremendous stroke in Juhu in Bombay. Everyone thought he may leave his body. The doctor said 99% chance he'll die. And if he lives, he'll be a vegetable. And now we see several years later, even after another trip to intensive care, he's still traveling and preaching around the planet. Is there any explanation for this other than the intervention of the Supreme Lord? Recently, Maharaj, I was fortunate to receive a letter from Maharaj. And Maharaj wrote to me that I was in the intensive care recently in Calcutta. They did not know what to do. So they airlifted me to Delhi. And there in Delhi, devotees were praying for me around the world. I felt a spiritual surge of strength. And he said, it's because of all the prayers of all the devotees around the world. And he left the hospital. And he continues to travel around the world preaching Krishna consciousness at a pace that would tire out 10 devotees that are half of his age. So Sri Krishna is intervening in the lives of the devotees. It's not just based on karma. It's based on the intervention of the Supreme Lord. And we should realize this. And in any situation that happens to us, any shortcoming, any calamity, we should see that it's actually the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The Lord has His plan. And we just have to try to understand what the Lord's plan is. Krituduti, she could not understand the plan of the Lord, and she lost her faith. She began speaking atheistic philosophy. We see, as a contrast, the life of Devaki. Just last week, we celebrated Sri Krishna Janmashtami. Now, Krituduti Maharani, she lost how many sons?
One.
But we see Devaki, she lost 6 sons. And each son was taken by Kamsa with his powerful limbs as strong as 10,000 elephants. He took the child by the legs and smashed that child right into the ground, right into a stone slab. And she personally witnessed 6 of her children smashed to death. Now, those of you who are parents, can you imagine anything more painful than seeing your own children murdered mercilessly before your eyes? There's nothing more painful than that. There was a painting competition to show a painting of a mother whose face was watching her child being killed. The painting that won the competition showed the mother looking away, hiding her face, because the mother cannot bear to see her child murdered. Nevertheless, Devaki, her Krishna consciousness was so powerful and so strong that she kept having child after child after child, because she knew that her 8th child would be Krishna. And as a service to Krishna, she was having child after child after child, and she was seeing them killed before her eyes. We see also the mood of Srivas Pandit, that he was in Srivas Angam, and in the middle of the kirtan with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees are loudly chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare." In the middle of the night, throughout the night, night-long kirtan, word came to Srivas that your son has died. Srivas said, "Shh, keep it quiet. Keep it very quiet. Don't let Lord Chaitanya find out. I do not want his mood to be spoiled. If you let his mood be spoiled, I will go and drown myself in the Ganges." So the kirtan continued. "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." At the end of the night, Lord Chaitanya said, "I had a wonderful experience chanting and dancing with all the devotees. However, I feel there was something wrong, or something in the atmosphere is not right. What has happened?" And the devotees shared with Lord Chaitanya that during the night, Srivas Pandit's child, his son, had died. And Lord Chaitanya was so happy that Srivas Pandit had not desired to disturb him in the kirtan. And because of his great affection for Lord Chaitanya and his transcendental vision, "Dhiras tatra na muyati," he was not disturbed by the child's change of body. That Lord Chaitanya said, "You have purchased me by your love for me." So we should take inspiration from Srivas Pandit. We should take inspiration from Devaki. We should see that the attitude of Krituduti Maharani in today's verse is not correct. That she's criticizing the Supreme Lord and advocating Karma Mimamsa philosophy. In conclusion, Srila Prabhupada has given us this great, great process of Krishna consciousness, which gives us Shastra Chakshus, lets us see through the eyes of Shastra what is real and what is illusion. And this will help us to move to this lifetime with added more and more Krishna consciousness. And at the end of this lifetime, we will go back to Godhead. I would just like to conclude with a quotation from my dear godbrother Sankirtan Prabhu, who left his body just a few days back on Janmashtami. He was a sannyas candidate, approved for sannyas, ready to take sannyas in Kartik, but he left his body due to cancer. He left on the all-auspicious day of Janmashtami. He was a bhakti vaibhav teacher, more than 25 bhakti shastri courses, preaching in Taiwan, preaching in other places I cannot mention on the internet, because they are very much underground and very, very dear to Vaishnavas around the world. So he was dying of cancer at a very young age. He was 54. But he had this to share. He said, "It is now my chance to learn to accept Krishna's arrangements with a proactive mood, to want to please the divine couple at every moment, and even apparently averse conditions." So he did not speak karma mimamsa philosophy. He said, "My Lord, whatever condition you've put me in, this is my great opportunity to see your mercy." He was very grateful. Grateful for the opportunity to associate with devotees. Grateful for the opportunity to come to the holy dham. Grateful for the opportunity to read Srila Prabhupada's books, to take Sri Krishna Prasadam, to have darshan of the deities, to chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Srila Prabhupada concludes the purport by saying, "One should take to devotional service without reservations and surrender everything to the supreme will of the Lord. That will make one happy in this life and the next." So we have to accept Krishna's desire, sarva dharma purjaja, mamekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papi vyo, mokshayishami masuchaha. Abandoning all varieties of religion and just surrendering unto Krishna. And in surrender to Krishna in Kali Yuga means Harinam Sankirtan. Tasmad Sankirtanam Vishnur Jagat Mangalam Amhasam Mahatam Apikoravya Vidyai Kantika Nishkirtam. That the greatest process in Kali Yuga to surrender to Krishna, the Yuga Dharma, is the loud congregational chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hence, we should trust the Lord's plan. And all's well that ends well. We'll see in the later chapter that King Chitraketu, as a result of this catastrophe, he gets wonderful gurus, Angira Muni, Narada Muni. He gets a wonderful mantra. In 10 days of chanting this mantra, he gets darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he takes his next birth, Vritasura, and goes back home, back to Godhead. So I'd like to stop here, just ask if anyone needs to leave for prasadam or any other purposes. And I'd also like to know if it's okay if I can ask for any questions or comments if those would like to stay on. I'm getting not very powerful signals, so we'll stop here. If anyone has any questions, I can meet them personally. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tagore Premanande.
together, a wonderful class.
You were coaching me last night.
No, I just...
Thank you.